Well, Aotearoa's Christmas tree, the pohutukawa, is in full bloom now in many parts of New Zealand, the gorgeous crimson flowers signalling it's time to head to the beach. Hard to believe that in 1990 the future of the iconic tree was in doubt. So what is the health of the pohutukawa and its cousin, the rata, now? With me is Robin Hoare, Chief Executive of Project Crimson, a charitable trust dedicated to protect and restore the pohutukawa and the rata. And if you have any questions about pohutukawa or rata, send them in and Robin will try to answer them. 2101 on the text or 9tonoon@rnz.co.nz. And I think we've got a gallery of some of your own images that you've been sending in to us. You can keep them coming. We've put them up on the website from where some of your favourites are. They're still nearly there. Coming now, in a moment. Be patient, Catherine. Good morning, Robin.
Hi there, how are you?
Really good, thanks very much. So how bad were things back in 1989, 1990? How much had we lost?
Well, we'd lost quite a bit back then. There was about, well, we actually started this organisation, Project Crimson. We established it in response to a report. It was the late 80s, 89, and it said that pohutukawa were being ravaged by possums and damaged by grazing stock. So there was only about 10% of the original forest that was left. And they were quite worried that, you know, without intervention, regeneration just wouldn't continue. So it was pretty dire back then. Thankfully, things have changed now, so we're in a much better space.
Well, that's huge loss and getting worse. And it's completely disappeared in parts, I think, of the west coast of Northland. What was it that it was going to take to stop that and restore? Pests, obviously. What else?
So just a lot of pest control, mainly for those possums. We funded a lot of possum traps and then a lot of fencing to keep out grazing stock, basically. So lots of fencing was done by thousands of volunteers and landowners, and then replanting just to regenerate all of the trees. So with all of that control, that original threat has largely disappeared. That possum control, pest control, all that fencing has made a huge difference.
And I understand that much of that planting stock was raised in prison nurseries over the years.
Yes, that's right. So they joined in and raised a lot of the initial stock to do the replanting. So they had a huge part to play in that too, definitely.
What are the different species? We'll talk in a moment about the difference between the pohutukawa and the rata, but even within them, are there different species of trees within the genus? What are you working with?
So we at Project Crimson, we now focus on all native trees, basically. So we are all about restoring and regenerating native trees across Aotearoa. But yes, the pohutukawa and the rata, they belong to the myrtle family, basically. And you'll probably be interested to know that so do feijoas. So those lovely summer fruits or late summer fruits that all New Zealanders enjoy also belong to the same family. Rata and pohutukawa, they're just a different species, just part of that same family though.
And within them, are there different kinds of tree as well, different kinds of pohutukawa, different kinds of rata?
Well, there's the northern rata and the southern rata. And they're the ones that are very different for people to tell apart from the pohutukawa. So even some scientists struggle to tell the difference between all of those. Pohutukawa have the woolly underside to the leaves. You know, it's like this white, like tiny little hairs on the bottom of the leaves. Yeah, and they've got much bigger leaves as well, whereas the rata are just the smaller and shinier leaves. So if you look at the actual flowers, it's really hard to tell the difference, but if you look at the leaves, it's much easier to tell. Northern rata in the North Island, obviously southern down the South Island, largely down the West Coast in the deep south. Pohutukawa are largely endemic to the top of the North Island. If you draw that line between Taranaki and Gisborne, that's largely where they like to be, so top of that. But then you do see them like down here in Wellington at the moment, outside my house, there's like huge pohutukawa in very nice bloom. So they can be planted and grow very well in other coastal areas, largely coastal and around water areas like lakes, like around Rotorua and places like that too.
And are in many places where we're viewing them and enjoying them now, you've mentioned Wellington, I think the famous pohutukawa at the Basin Reserve, is it? They've all been planted. So many of what we enjoy now have been planted by people trying to restore.
Yes, basically, yeah. And once they're planted, and then they can regenerate based off that, you know, that seed source. So then it's much easier for them to regenerate. So we all get to enjoy them, yeah, everywhere across the North Island largely, and then the rata down in the South Island as well.
Why do
also
some...
those, I don't know if you've seen them. Have you seen the yellow flowering?
I wanted to ask you about that, yes. So, let's talk about the flowering, because there can be quite a difference even between one tree and the next as to how profusely it flowers, but there's also a yellow variety.
Yeah, so there's a yellow variety. Well, it's and also white even. So you can get flowers that are very white right through to yellowy and even a very, very light pink. So they're very rare and just a different genetic variation, I guess they are. Even the crimson colour of the typical crimson pahutukawa can range from that light pink right through to a deep red through to an even orangey colour. And that's just largely based on genetics. Just like humans are different because of different genetics. So pahutukawa and rata are just the same. You just get those various, those different variations.
Well, there's another tree, I'm not quite sure if it's any kind of relative at all. It's the bottle brush that often people will confuse for a pahutukawa, but it's so named because that's the way these little red, what do you call them? They're almost like little spindles are shaped. They're shaped like a bottle brush. Is it any relative at all or just the same colour?
To be honest, I actually don't know. I'll have to ask one of our scientists. They're the ones that we get most of our information from and we learn very much from. I actually don't know about the bottle brush, but I know what you mean. It looks very similar, doesn't it? And it's like the feijoa as well. It has that very similar kind of spindly, red, spiky bit to it that is what you recognise. You know, that's what we know. To get confused with pahutukawa.
When you mentioned the myrtle, of course, we all got ourselves in a panic for good reason with the encroachment of myrtle rust because of the threat to the beloved feijoa and also because of potential threat to the beloved pahutukawa. Where is that at? Is it still sort of looming or is it a bit more under control?
No, it is a big threat. There's a lot of different organisations doing their bit to try and find a treatment or even better, a preventative. So there's the Myrtle Rust Group and Manaaki Whenua and DOC, and lots of organisations are working very very closely to get this, you know, to try and reduce that risk of myrtle rust. But I guess the best thing that, you know, we as New Zealanders can do, and, you know, what we try and endorse from Project Crimson, is just being aware of what it is. So myrtle rust is that yellowy powder that's on the leaves of the tree. And so you can spot it and then you know that the plant's got, you know, is infected with myrtle rust. And so what we advise people to do is to record that they've spotted that on trees. So you can go onto the iNaturalist app and note that you've spotted some myrtle rust on some trees. And so that helps to control the infection. So that's what we hope that that everyday New Zealanders, when we're out in the bush over summer and things, can do that. Don't touch it. We advise people to keep planting, though. Just choose it. Like, it, myrtle rust thrives in moister and warmer conditions. So, you know, this season hasn't been that great for them. It's been quite wet and warm, so that's not ideal. But we advise people just to keep planting. It affects the younger growth more, so older trees are usually okay. So plant around more mature trees and things like that. But the most recent infection was spotted in those trees in Devonport on the North Shore. So it is around, but yeah, just rest assured that plenty of groups are doing lots to try and stop that that spread.
Lots of questions, Robin. Before we get to them, let's talk about some of the projects you've got lined up for next year, and also tell me about the tree gifting project, please.
All right, yes, so Trees That Count. So that's probably our biggest, most successful program to date. It's our Trees That Count marketplace has been around for about 5 years. And essentially it's a digital marketplace that brings together businesses and communities and just everyday New Zealanders to make native tree planting more accessible. So we get applications from lots of planting groups across the country wanting to plant native trees, but sometimes lacking the funding to do so. And so we bring in all that very generous donation from businesses and corporates and New Zealanders, and we match that those donations to native tree planting groups across the country. So it might be schools or councils or iwi groups or landowners, farmers and things. So what people can do is they go onto our digital marketplace, they can gift or fund a native tree just for $10. They can send out a gift certificate to your giftee, and they receive a really nice gift message with a beautifully illustrated certificate. The person that receives the gift gets notified where their tree has been planted, and they get to see the progress of that planting and that project for years to come. So it's a really nice way to get everybody involved in planting native trees. So that's our Trees That Count program.
And how many trees will you be planting? Did you tell us how many trees will we be planting in the next year? Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, next year we're hoping to plant over 350,000. We'll fund so that our planting groups can plant 350,000 trees across about 275 projects. So those projects go from like the very top of Northland all the way down to Bluff. We've got a very exciting project in Bluff as well. So across the country, okay. We're currently sitting at about having funded 850,000 trees over the last 4 years or so. So it's a really good number, and that's thanks to the generosity and support of, you know, all of New Zealand.
Okay, now Robin, there's a lot of questions, so we'll have to be as succinct as we can. We're about to sell our West Auckland property. We have two beautiful large pohutukawa trees on the property and want to protect them. What is the best way to protect them from being cut down in the future? Should we put a covenant on them, or is there another way?
Covenants are always the best way, because that means that they are protected forevermore. So if you can do that, then yes, please do something like that. That would be what we would recommend.
All right. Please ask if they eco-source the plant material and ensure plants go back to the right area. Also, do they grow from seed or cuttings? If from cuttings, then could that exacerbate myrtle rust?
So we, for all the planting projects that we support, yes, the plants are eco-sourced. That's up to the planting group to choose the nursery, their local nursery, who they usually have a very good working relationship with after, you know, years of planting and caring for native trees. So plants are all eco-sourced. And yes, absolutely, that's always what is recommended to stop the spread of disease and have the right tree planted in the right place.
I bought a rata sapling at a vineyard in Wairarapa to grow in Wellington, but was then told by a local I shouldn't plant it there. Is there a specific ratas for each area? Is this true?
Oh, I can't answer that question. Sorry, I'm not that much of a scientist. We can find that out for you. I can reach out to our scientist, David Berg, and he will be able to help. And I'll let you know if we can take questions and respond back to people, we can do that.
Okay. We've already talked about the strategy to prevent or treat myrtle rust, I think, haven't we? We've already touched on that. Is it possible to grow pohutukawa or rata in Southland?
Definitely rata, so southern rata, definitely down in Southland. You see a lot of them in Fort Fiordland and along that west coast. So southern rata specifically, yes. Pohutukawa, they obviously like the warmer temperatures. They do like coastal regions though, but warmer temperatures. So Southland might just be a little bit too cold for that.
We have a variegated pohutukawa which has been trimmed around 2 years ago. It now does not flower. Can we do anything to get the bush to flower again?
Oh, that's outside of my expertise as well. I'm not actually sure. I mean, all species flower for, you know, they have different flowering like seasons and likelihood of flowering. So I'm not sure if you can do anything again. Maybe plant another tree next to it that is flowering very well. If you get those cuttings with good flowering ability, you can get them to plant at the same time. Plant them in that. Hopefully will regenerate. But what I would suggest is contacting your local nursery and they might be able to help in that instance.
Can you grow pohutukawa inland? We live in Lake Taupo area and would like to grow these beautiful trees.
Yes, absolutely, around any kind of water. And again, pohutukawa above that Taranaki Gisborne line, so that's Taupo for sure. But near a water source is ideal.
I had to rip out my carpet rata, but they continue to sell the identical clone just down the road with myrtle rust. Why is it allowed?
That's a very tough question. I'm not sure that with myrtle rust, they that's probably an area that I shouldn't step into. It's a bit too scientific for me, and I don't want to give the wrong advice. So I would suggest we get some help on that question and get back to you.
All right. A couple more to go. You're doing really well. Thank you. What's being done to combat the myrtle rust attacking the trees? We're seeing it in our hood in Herne Bay. Your point was what? To report it when you see it, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. So report it, and then people will basically, they're gathering all of that data to get an idea of where all the myrtle rust is, and then they can address it. So that's the best thing you can do right now is report it.
One more. We live in Fielding and have a 30-year-old northern rata and a 10-year-old pohutukawa. Both have only flirted with flowering three times, producing no more than 3 to 5 flower heads. Does your expert today have any idea why flowering is so poor? Both trees are very healthy.
It could be just the genetic piece again. So what our resident scientists tell us is that, you know, flowering is related to the genetics of the particular tree, and some just don't flower as much. Again, try getting another seedling and planting it nearby, seeing if that helps. That's what we'd recommend. But again, your local nursery, they should know what flowers best in your local region.
Thank you very much, Robin. Much appreciated, and happy Christmas to you. It certainly is one of those reminders that it's this time of the year, and it's always a beautiful backdrop to summer and to the holidays. Robin Hoare is Chief Executive of Project Crimson, a charitable trust dedicated to protect and restore the pohutukawa and rata.